Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Robert, how you doing tonight, brother?
Hey, what's happening, bro?
Man, I don't know. I feel good, I know.
I feel good,
kind of like I knew that I would.
Anyway, your question tonight is, can you have big money and still be in pop?
Listen to the Brother Faria radio show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. As I always say, the brothers enjoy talking to them themselves. So we would like a little bit of input from you guys every now and then. But anyway, tonight we will have some more people on the show with us. We have Network Anson. Networks is an international organization. And we have an Anson County faction of that group. So we'll be talking with them tonight. All right? All right. Here we go. All right. Brothers, tonight we'll be talking about poverty. But before we get into all that, I want to let you guys introduce yourselves, tell everybody who you are, what you're doing, what's going on in your lives. Robert, I just got this beautiful invitation to a beautiful young lady's graduation in the mail today. Yeah. So we're going to start with you. If you want to share that information with us tonight, that's cool. If not, that's cool, too. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Robert Gatewood, all the way up in Maryland, the D.C. area. How are you doing tonight, bro?
I am doing lovely. Yes, it is true. My lovely daughter did recently finish her law degree. She has a law degree now at from the University of Virginia. And so she's studying now for the bar. And so that's been a big accomplishment. She has, I mean, that stuff's not easy, ladies and gentlemen, in case you didn't know. That's a lot of work. It takes patience. It takes money. It takes time. And it takes a community. We talked about the community on this show many times. So I'm going to give everybody out here just a little bit of credit for just supporting the show, supporting me, the brothers, the listening audience. And none of us get to where we are by ourselves. And so I'm just going to speak as a proud father of a successful daughter, and I'm also proud of the brothers here on the show today. I'm Robert Gatewood. Of course, I have a company called Gatewood Marketing and Web, and we are a full-service advertising agency up in the Washington, D.C. area. We also own and operate the Marketing Pulpit TV show, which is, and radio, on which this show is broadcast today. I'm telling the truth, man. I'm feeling pretty good today. Feeling pretty good. Things are clicking. We're still in a pandemic, and people are still sick. Some people are still dying, and we're trying to shake this thing off. And with the grace of God and the powers and the brothers and the supporters and our families and people that we know, the community, we can beat this thing and all the challenges, any challenge that comes before us. Just glad to be here. Welcome to the brothers, and welcome to the show, and welcome to anybody listening.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Rob.
Amen.
Thank you very much. That's a beautiful thing, and congratulations to your daughter. I'm sure that's I'm sure possibly you're on the poverty list now, perhaps.
On the who list?
The poverty. Well, I'm just saying, man. I know you.
Well,
know.
Yeah, I'm telling you, boy. You better, yeah. You know, but you know, you gotta give to get. It's like the more you invest in people and persons and property and things, the more you stay in the game. So everything I've done this far in my life, and I never stop. Everything I put in, I hope that I can get out, but I don't do it with the expectation to get things out. That's just the way it happened to work out. So, amen.
Right. Amen to that.
Amen.
Appreciate you, man. Well, we're proud of you, proud of your daughter, or proud of everyone that has pulled together to make this happen. I know you got a lot of support up there. The support down here and all. We're just excited that this has happened. Thank you.
Thank you.
Joseph's in Charlotte, North Carolina today. But Rob, you did mention something important or interesting to me. Is the pandemic still going on?
That's what I hear. I don't know. Yes. The short answer is yes.
Yeah.
The long answer is a little more nuanced. This new variant now, according to the CDC, is the most popular variant in the United States right now. And that's the one that where they're not sure about if the vaccination is going to be equally effective. So the new variant right now is the threat. So we may see another round. Hopefully not, but it's not over. It's definitely not over.
Exactly. Joseph Gatewood, what's going on with you, man?
Oh, Hello, this is Joseph Gatewood coming to you from Charlotte, North Carolina, the owner of Gatewood Insurance and Real Estate. Well, we're doing relatively well down here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Business is doing really good. People are buying a lot of new cars now. So, of course, new car, that means car insurance. The real estate market in Charlotte is really hot. Houses can't stay on the market. A house stays on the market in Charlotte in 7 days. There's a problem with the house. The house.
How many days did you say, Joseph? If it stays, how many days?
Seven. Seven.
Wow.
Seven. So
that's
soon
great.
As the property hits, soon as the and the prices continue to go up, right now I can't afford the house I live in. If I had to buy it, I couldn't even buy it. But we just stay in it.
That's funny.
But we had a. But you know, we've we are still trying to take steps to mitigate the devastating effects of the virus. We're still masking, trying to social distance as much as possible. We're not going in any crowds unnecessarily. We're just trying to stick close to family. And I do want to give a shout out to Robert on the accomplishments of his daughter. As he mentioned, just graduated from law school for a Juris Doctor degree. Had the opportunity to meet with them on Sunday morning. Of course, I met with Robert on Friday and Saturday because I was up in the Maryland area. We had our beautiful granddaughter with us for 2 weeks. And we traveled to Maryland to return her to her parents. You know, we were not happy about her leaving, but, you know, we knew she couldn't stay forever when she came. But we did get an opportunity to meet with Robert, stay, you know, hang out with Robert and his family and friends up in the Maryland area. So life is not 100% back to normal, but life is good.
Amen. Proud of you guys. Proud of you, Joe. Proud of you, brother. Appreciate you, man. Curtis Gatewood in the house.
Hey, brother. I will say this, though. I don't know who's handling the hand clap, but I don't recall hearing a hand clap for that law degree. I think I heard one for the grandbaby.
Who catchy is Robert is being modest. He's the hand clapper.
The hand clapper can clap for himself.
That is a serious accomplishment. So, Robert, first and foremost, I want to say we give honor to God for what he has done for you and your daughter, your family, your wife, Peggy. That is an honor. I did receive that beautiful card. My God, she looks like a star. You know, she looks like she's preparing to really take the world by storm. So I would like to say I'm happy to see that the future is in good hands as we look at folk like Shannon. So thank you for all you have done. I wish I could have done more. I can't say I have done much, but just being your brother, and just thank God for what I have seen through your family. And this is just a great time. So thank God for that. Leon, I do want to just thank you also. And all the people who were on the call last night, you know, I'm really feeling high. I'm high off not a drug, but I'm high off a good feeling of the spirit because we just had a great inspirational conference call last night, Justice Ministration, Stop Killing Our Solution Campaign. Of course, I'm founder of those entities. And we had a great and encouraging conference call last night at 7 o'clock. God sent some of his best and brightest collective thinking. As we talk about the path towards love and serving and protecting our own dying neighborhoods and families and communities, we can't depend on the persons that we describe as the oppressor, the racist, and all those folks. We cannot depend on them to protect us and to serve us. We have to serve ourselves. We have to protect ourselves. So it was great to have people on the call. We have people from Georgia, Philadelphia, Durham, Elizabeth City, Harnett County, Anson County, Wake County, Fayetteville, Washington, North Carolina. I mean, we just had, and they were various experts. And so we wanted to say this is what we need to do to continue to put our collective thinking on how we can live through all the disastrous, horrific, and brutal death that we have to endure on this journey toward justice. So it's great to see you all, and I'm glad to be here.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, man. And we need to clap for the clapper, too. Thank you, Robert. We clap for you, too, brother. Bless you.
Thank you, brother.
Well, check this out, guys. I'm
Leon. Tell,
yes, sir.
Tell us about you, Leon.
Okay, here I go, man. I'm Leon Gatewood down here in Waysville, North Carolina. Been here forever. I left and went to Livingstone College for too long, and I'm back now and just flat out refused to leave Anson County. Been here working with the HALA Center since 2005. HALA is an acronym for Helping Our Loved Ones Learn and Achieve. And our mission is to, anyway, we started out on our mission of being advocate for young people who wanted to succeed. Advocate for young people who didn't have the necessary things in place to be successful. So in doing so, we have found ways to make partnerships with some very powerful organizations, including the school system, including local churches, including local other civic organizations, and people like that, that we can reach out. And, of course, including people like the North Carolina Arts Council, the United Way, PD Electric Corporation, Duke Energy, the Golden Leaf Foundation, the North Carolina Rural Center, all those guys have been very instrumental in us doing what we do. And, of course, a very supportive community. So we have doing things like the tennis program. We've been in the past couple this summer. I'll just tell you right quick, and we're going to move into our show. This summer has been very exciting. We had Mr. Philip Chabaz here. We've had a tennis camp, we call him a tennis clinic, Coach William Brown. We've had a young lady named Emily Bolick here from a former student here in Anson County who decided to give back by coming in and teaching our kids some pointers on agriculture. They got some raised beds in the back of Marvin Elementary School, growing squash, tomatoes, peppers, and whatever else they can get in those little cups and start. So it's been a very exciting summer. And I'll just say this, and I'll be quiet. It is up to, like Curtis said, it's up to us to make sure our communities get what they need. We can't depend on anybody but ourselves. So make sure you do that. In the meantime, however, there are monies out there that we can reach out and pull into our communities, and we must do that. The money's out there waiting on us to pull it into our community. Places like Anson County should be some of the shiniest places on the earth because we qualify for all the money out there. We qualify for all the money. So we should be one of the shiniest places on earth right now. Remember that. Anyway, let's talk about poverty for a minute. We came from a family of 14. Curtis, you threw the rap, man. Came from a family of 14. What's the rest of it?
Born in a family of 16, we often ate saltines and pork and beans. Sometimes my sandwich had no meat, but God made a way for the family to eat.
Give me a little more, man.
And even though the holes in my shoes would leak, at least I had shoes on my feet. I wore big clothes that my big brothers left me. We drank sugar water. We didn't have Pepsi. You see, my mama and my daddy knew Jesus. That's the only way that they could please us. You see, I've never been high on crack, but it's a fact that I jumped off track, but God brought me back. He made a new me. He's not through with me, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. I've been down and I may go down again, but I'm prepared to endure to the end.
Wow. Amen.
My friend.
All right.
Yep. Yep. Now, I do want to make some clarifications on that. We did have a period where my father actually owned a grocery store. So there were times where we really had some good things to eat, and my daddy was always, and my parents, they made Wade out of no Wade. We had gardens and so on and so forth. But, you know, as a kid and when you're going through, there are certain periods where you're eating that mayonnaise sandwich without the meat. You're eating that ketchup sandwich. You know, you're going between a little things. But I don't want to paint the picture that we did not have anything. We were blessed over and beyond, but we had so much spiritual wealth, we did not even know what we were lacking financially because we had so much love. So just want to clarify that.
Curtis.
Yeah.
You remember when we ate cornflakes? Remember when we ate cornflakes without the milk?
Yes, sir.
I didn't know cornflakes even came with milk.
And, you know, yeah,
that's too
you know, when you put that water, it had that different taste, man. I think I can still taste that cornflake with water instead of milk.
Yeah, me too.
That was terrible.
And a ketchup sandwich and a mayonnaise sandwich. You know the worst kind of sandwich, though? A mustard
Where was
sandwich.
It?
Now, that was a,
yeah.
a mustard. That was
yeah.
a bad sandwich.
Yeah,
that was
that,
a bad
yeah,
I ain't going to lie.
Yeah, that.
What kind of sandwich?
Mustard sandwich.
That was the worst.
I know.
Mayonnaise pretty good. Miracle Whip
yeah,
sounds pretty good.
I do mayonnaise sandwich.
We used to call it sweetening water. You remember that? Sweetening water.
Yeah. you know, man, sweetening water came back. You know what people do now? They go to the restaurant. They go down there in the darn restaurant and say, hey, give me a glass of water and put some lemon on the side. And then bring me some sugar. And the sugar waiter said, wait a minute.
Hey, Clyde told me about that one. Yeah, my brother Clyde told me about that one, how he makes lemonade every time he goes to the restaurant.
That's jacked up.
Hey, man. Y'all remember when first time, I think one of our cousins from Charlotte, he came down and
mm-hmm.
You know, they had a little more than we had, obviously. He came down and I think they must have spent the night either at the Grandpa Clyde's house or at our house. I can't imagine that. But the Joker, we were eating breakfast and he had an egg sandwich. He was already eating an egg sandwich. Then he wanted some mayonnaise for his egg sandwich. I said, no, bro. It's one or the other, man. You're lucky to have an egg sandwich.
That's too untrained.
So he's taking some of the sandwich material.
Exactly.
Want sandwich.
Mayonnaise. Want to put some mayonnaise
put,
on his egg sandwich.
You got a double
yeah,
sandwich.
There ain't no Big Mac, man. Shoot.
He broke up. No.
But
you know, guys.
Yes.
Nobody told me that I was poor. And if nobody had told me, I would have never figured it out either. I just knew that I thought life was pretty good. I had my brother, two loving parents, my sisters, cousins coming over to visit, my grandpa living next door. It's like, what else could be better than this?
You know what?
We really
were wealthy.
We were wealthy, but in a different way. And quite frankly, I've never thought of myself as being poor. Never. I've never thought of myself as being poor. And I don't think of myself as being poor now. Because there's one thing I discovered. As long as you let other people define your values, what's valuable to you, that you will always be poor.
You preaching, boy.
Because naturally, if a man have a lot of money, he gonna let let money be the measure of wealth.
Absolutely, especially if you're an oppressor.
If a man has land, he gonna let his land be the value of wealth. If a man has jewelry, he gonna let the jewelry be the value of wealth, or cars and so forth and so on. But as we look at ourselves, we all have something that nobody else has and something that nobody can take away from us.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I remember when I was getting ready to go into an operating room several years ago, And I was laying there on that bed on the way to the operating room, and I just reflected for a moment, and I thought about, I said, there was nobody else in the world that I would rather be, I said, even in the situation that I'm in. I said, just like guys like Warren Buffett with their billions of dollars, and Bezos and Gates and all these guys with the billions of dollars. And I think about it, I said, now, with all the billions of dollars that they have, I would not change places with them. Because if I change places with them, guess what? I don't have Robert and Curtis and Leon.
Oh, stop, man. Stop.
I wouldn't change places. I wouldn't have my wife and my children. I would have to give up all of that. So what I'm saying is, if you look at it from the perspective that you have something that you will not give up, you're just as wealthy as anybody.
Yeah.
I'm crying over here. Stop.
Well, look, guys, Robert. We're going to take a quick break, man. When we come back, we're going to have our guest up. Rick Vance and Joe's got me. I got to go get some tissue. Ladies and gentlemen, the number to call is 215-383-3872. Next coming up, we have Network Fancy coming up, and we're going to have a good conversation with them. I got to go get me some tissue. That sounds like war coming in the background.
Punch it, drink the wine.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. All right. The number to call in is 215-383-3872. Tonight we have our guest, Network Anthem. And we're going to pull in Ms. Devin Pettiford, who is the director of that program. Devin, how are you doing tonight?
Good evening. I am doing wonderful, and I'm so grateful to you all for letting me join you on your radio show tonight.
We are so grateful that you agreed to join us on our radio show tonight. All right. David, now you know I know you very well, but these brothers around the table and everybody listening over all over the world, perhaps, do not.
Yes.
Please tell us a little bit about yourself first, and then a little bit about your program, and then we're going to start jumping into this discussion.
All right. Well, where to begin? My name, of course, is, again, Devin Pettiford. I am from Morven in Anson County. That's in North Carolina. I went off to school and graduated from the University of North Carolina in Greensboro. And I did not immediately return back here, but life found me back here in 2013 officially. And I have been always interested in working in the nonprofit arena. That's where my passion is. I would like to serve the community in some way, solving the issues that I care about, and I am involved with HALA as well as Networks Anson, and those two nonprofit organizations are really something that I care about because of the missions that they have. So I'm very big on literacy, and I'm very big on mental health. Those are my two soapboxes for anyone that has had really good close conversations with me. So, yes, and I am also, as Mr. Gatewood, well, Leon said, I am the director of Networks Anson. So do you want me to go right into talking about that program?
Absolutely, Devin. Yeah, you kind of get the history of it, how it got into Anson County, what is it doing in Anson County, what in the world is holistic approach to poverty, all that good stuff. Yes.
So I love talking about Networks Anson. I'm so proud of it and happy to be a part of it. So I'm going to try and trim this down as basic as possible so I don't go on and on and on. Networks Anson officially was started in 2019. It is a restart, meaning that it was in existence earlier, and then they brought it back. And so Leon was approached by the upper management, the director of Networks, and he got in contact with myself and the people who would become the board members, and Annette Snyder, as well as Crystal Imes. They do all of the work. I don't know how they have time in their days to do that, as well as everything else that they do. But they were the ones that gave us the training and told us exactly what Networks is. So Networks
right there,
is
what Networks is. That's a big question.
Yes.
What in the world is Networks?
So while we have Networks Anson in our community, Networks itself is a national nonprofit organization, and that is spelled N-E-T-W-O-R-X. And below, its slogan is Igniting Potential and Transformation Together. So they do have a website, and you can go to that at www.networks.us, and you can learn a lot more. But again, its main mission is to address poverty holistically, and there are little sites, local sites, including Networks Anson, and we get to look at the needs of our community, and we get to have autonomy as a singular, an individual site to determine how we want to address poverty in our community. Now, when we say we focus on poverty in a holistic way, that is what really got me interested, and it perked my ears up. I said, I want to be a part of this. When we talk about poverty in a holistic way, we talk about not just the financial poverty. Most of the time, people automatically go to their money or lack thereof, or they think about other people's abundance, their financial abundance. However, what I really enjoy about Networks as a whole is we look at all of the facets that can be affected by poverty. So that can be your mental health, that can be your physical health, that can be your spiritual life, that could be your relationships. So one of the things that we always tell people is they have questions like, okay, do I have to have, first of all, does this cost money for me to be a part of it? It is absolutely free. It does not cost money. The only thing it's going to cost you would be a very, very big resource that you have, and that is your time, because we know that's one non-renewable resource that everyone has. So you have to give your time, and you have to have your commitment that you are determined to see changes in your own life and then as well in your community. So that is the cost of it. It is not a financial cost. The other thing that we tell people is there is no income, you know, you can be in any income. So it's not just for people who are lower income. You know, it's my goal to one day have in our cohort that talks about poverty is to have someone who is making upwards of six figures, but they are feeling poverty in a physical way, again, a mental way or a spiritual way. They could be morally bankrupt. You know, that is poverty. So, yes. So we, again, we started in 2019. That's when our board came together. We wanted to start our cohort, which is one of the the foundations of any network site. That is the one common factor you're going to have. You're going to have weekly meetings with a cohort of people that does not exceed 12, because we really, this is going to be vulnerable discussions that you're having. You're going to talk about privilege. You're going to talk about trauma. You're going to discuss ACEs, which is adverse childhood experiences, and how that can relate to the physical and mental poverty that you may be experiencing in your adult life. You're going to discuss, you are going to discuss money a little bit, but really what this is, people come in to this cohort to participate, and they come in with their own set of goals. Not everyone, again, is going to be experiencing poverty in the same way. So they're going to come in and they're going to work on what they feel needs to be worked on in their own lives. And just to give you what happened last year, we were not able to start the cohort because obviously the pandemic happened. But we did not let that sway us, obviously, from being determined to get this organization up and running here in this county, because a time like this where poverty, you know, was exacerbated by the pandemic, we knew that this was going to be something that people were really going to need. So we started the classes in March after recruiting people to, you know, want to join. And we are coming up on the graduation for that, the participants in that cohort. It is actually next Tuesday, so we are extremely excited about that. That's one of our milestones. We are operating virtually via Zoom sessions right now because of, again, the pandemic. However, it is our goal and hope that we will be able to do this, these weekly meetings with future cohort participants face-to-face. So one of the things that we would gather around with in those meetings would be a meal. So a meal would be provided, transportation to the site where we have the weekly meetings, as well as child care. So a lot is entailed in this. It has been a wonderful challenge, and I'm just so happy to, again, be a part of it. And I'm trying to think if there's anything that I left out. I want to leave our other guests with something to be able to say.
Devin, you left nothing out.
You're
an amazing person.
Out.
I just want to share this with the world right quick. Devin's an amazing person. When this thing was first brought, when this program was first introduced to me, one of the first people that came to my mind was, you know, help us get it off the ground was Devin, and she took it, and it like she just said, now they're having their first graduation next Tuesday. I mean, when she took it from complete scratch. I mean, she basically took it.
My board has been extremely supportive. So Leon is one of the board members. He's the lead agency representative because HALA is the fiscal agent for networks. It is how we operate. Without his agreement to that, the networks would have been a non-starter in regards to that. So I really, really appreciate my board. I can say that God has been in this from the very beginning, and he has been there every step of the way, and he has directed our path. And I, again, I'm very, very happy about that.
Devin, speaking of your board, you have a couple of board members on the line. Davey Trotty is on the line. Hey, Davey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Doing great. Thanks for joining us tonight. I think we also have Mr. Jim Boylan. We have Jim Boylan on the line as well. Jim, you there?
Yes, thank you for having me. Sure is nice to be able to associate with Gatewood Brook.
We appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
It's amazing what you guys are doing, the cooperation we're getting from the board and whoever else. Devin is finding ways to make this thing happen. We really appreciate it. Do your brothers have any questions, or does anyone on the board have any further statements they would like to make about the organization?
I'm sorry. Go right ahead, please. Go right ahead.
I will say I did want to leave space for Davey, who is our coach. She is one of the co-coaches that facilitates the weekly meetings. And if she would like to talk about our programming that has come from this, I want to give her the space to do so. Otherwise, Davey, just let me know if you want me to.
I can talk about the program itself and some of the topics that we've seen. What I love about networks is that we gather together as community, and it's a place where everybody who is a part of that group can count on confidentiality. So it allows everybody to have the opportunity to be vulnerable and to share parts of their lives that they might not share in other ways. We talk about trauma, and we look at our ACE scores, which is our adverse childhood experiences. We have an inventory that everyone will go through and has the opportunity to think about how trauma in our childhood has affected our lives. And everybody has trauma in their childhood, but the level of trauma can be small, but it can be really pretty big. And so it helps to know why we do things the way we do them, understanding the trauma in our lives. But we take trauma and we turn it into conversations about resilience and how to overcome obstacles in our lives. And we think about privilege and culture and stereotypes. And we look at the tools that we can use that are offered to us in the program. And we learn about abundance and how we can reshape our lives. So that by the time the members of our cohort are ready to graduate, they have talked about their finances in a small way, but more than anything, they've talked about the goals that they have in their lives, and they create vision boards and establish some things that they would like to do. And the cohort actually lasts for 18 months. So it isn't just the 3 months of this first round of working together. It's an 18-month program over time that we have an opportunity to walk together with each other as a community as we reach the goals that we've created for ourselves. And as we then take all of our skills and all of our the gifts that we've been given out into our community, where we create abundance within our community and recognize the resources we can find there. That's probably the curriculum in a nutshell.
That was a nice little nutshell you created there. you really put it in there. Go ahead, Robert.
I'd like to speak to Devin, Davey, and Jim. Thanks again for joining the brothers this evening. And as I was listening to Devin and then Davey, one thing you said that I think is very important, and I think it's sometimes often not given enough weight, and that is the resiliency. Because everybody falls down at some point. Everybody falls down.
Yes.
And what we realize later in life through experience, life experiences and things that we go through, is that what separates the successful and the unsuccessful is that ability to get back up. And so I would give your organizations just the utmost respect for understanding that important component in the development of people. Instilling them in that ability to get back up. And that's I think that's a major undertaking. And if I think it's a great organization, it's a great mission. I love that aspect of it, and anything that Brothers and the Marketing Pulpit can do to help further that aim, we're here to do it.
Thank you so much. I will say that we are excited. If you keep an eye on our Facebook page, it's Networks Anson. And we do have a website, which is www.networksanson.com. You know, anyone can, you know, learn more information or submit inquiries if they want to volunteer. They can get involved by signing up on the volunteer list. We do have a newsletter. Sign up on that website as well. And one thing that you'll be seeing most recently would be from our cohort, the participants decided that they wanted to address poverty by having a community garden. And so that is the very first programming that we will have outside of the cohort itself. So we'll be giving nice updates about that. We are grateful to Leon for sharing the land that he is going to allow us to build this community garden on. So we are very excited about that.
Amen.
Very good. Very good. Well, guys, look, we have Jim on the line. I did want to hear from Jim tonight. How you doing tonight, Jim?
Doing just fine. I don't know if I can add anything because they've told it so well.
They did. But that just makes your job harder. Jim,
well,
that just makes your job harder, man. I'm fine.
Well, Jim on the
fight. Well, I'm just glad to be here. You know, it's been a long journey, but it's still going on. Thanks to you and networks. The part about recognizing poverty is something that struck me right on the. That's how I got here, because I went to a poverty simulation. And thought I knew what I didn't know until I actually lived it for just a short period of time. However, once you find out that, when you go through a week of poverty, you may forget to go to the grocery store. You may forget to go to see about a job. You may forget to go to some place where there is a resource for you. However, once you wake up and see what's going on around you, you can kind of see that there's a lot of barriers to a lot of folks. There are a lot of formalities that keep a lot of people away. And once you understand what's going on in somebody else's world, then you can kind of gauge what you can do to help out. If that makes any sense to you, that's not really exactly how I got here. That's just the spot that you put me on, and I produced an explanation. But it was first poverty simulation, the first one that I heard from Annette Snyder at the Methodist Church up here, that, let's see, I guess the biggest word is change. Changed me, changed my thinking, and gave me an opportunity to do something different in my retirement than what I was doing before. And so I can find a different way of relating to folks and understanding their situation. Now, when you talk about folks in poverty, they're the real survivors in this world, because they do it with very little, but they survive. And once you understand that they're very good at finding solutions to those problems in their day, and not so much about worrying about it, but actually finding some action to take them through the day. Does that make sense to y'all?
It does, Jim. And I want to say this right quick. I was talking to my brother, my brother Joseph earlier today. We were talking about growing up and how we didn't have a lot of the material things. And we were sitting here saying, you know, we're discussing how in the world did we keep our self-esteem, you know? We seemed to be loaded with self-esteem, even though we didn't have the stuff a lot of the kids had growing up. And we realized we had the family structure. And like you were saying a while ago, how when people are in poverty, you know, and sometimes we look at them in judgment, like, why don't they go get some of these benefits out of here? You know, like you just said, if you live in a world of poverty, you don't feel like the world is for you. You don't feel like those benefits, even the benefits for poor people are for you. you know. So it's a tough life.
However, he struck a point there when he said why people don't go get a job. Folks are very judgmental about people that are in poverty. And if you remember Ed Sullivan, how many here remember Ed Sullivan?
Yeah, man, and that's not a really big show.
Okay,
there,
well,
so.
That's what
Sunday
it
night.
Well, Sunday night. They also had other acts on there. One of them was this fellow that came out and spun the plate on a pole. You remember?
I remember.
If
not on his show, I remember that guy. He was all over the place.
He kept those plates spinning.
Right.
And that's what I understood. When I understood that is like living in poverty, you don't have time to go out and get a job because you're just trying to survive. You're just trying to make the plates spin so you can make it through the day. That example is one I've used over and over when I ask people, well, what do you think people in poverty ought to do? Well, get a job. Well, have you thought about how many plates they're spinning just to survive? There's a lot of plates spinning. Thank you for listening to me. It's just one of the things that I noticed in the poverty training that I got gave me a lot more to think about. When you see people walking down the street and you wonder what they're doing, they're just surviving in a lot of cases.
Hey, guys, another interesting thing about Jim is, Curtis, you remember the guy we used to deliver newspapers with in Charlotte River in the middle of the night? Francis Baldwin. This is his son, man.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah, man.
He
would wake us up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go out delivering at Charlotte River.
And y'all had the messenger intelligence. What was the messenger intelligence? What was that?
Our family newspaper, founded by my great grandfather in the 1800s, late 1800s. And so that's where I grew up. And I guess that's why I'm still so attached to the newspapers. They're a dying breed, you know, they're not quite like they used to be. The model doesn't work as well. In fact, we're lucky to have one here in Anson County still. So I'm mindful of that. Thank you for the connection.
Yes, and it's great hearing you guys. Right. Well, it's great hearing you guys. And like I said, I've just been listening, and we're appreciative of any work that's done in the area of poverty. In fact, as a minister, I sometimes feel like people who say they are blessed because they have a large home or because they have a nice car, I frown a little bit because I feel like that is not the measurement of a blessing. I think a blessing is more a spiritual, I think that wealth comes through the spirit. And so sometimes we are degrading people who have less and not even knowing it by suggesting that they are not blessed if they do not have a certain level of materialism. So I thank you in how you guys are being very careful in making sure people are not feeling even worse when they are in fact in need of something. And I think if we can start to shift that belief that because people are, it's something how people can come into a church and people can be degraded by things even pastors or so-called Christians say about poverty. So we have to be very careful, and I'm glad to see that you guys are in how we label poverty and the stigma that we like to attach to poverty when there are so many systemic reasons as to why people are poor. So thank you for your
A lot of systemic reasons. It started a long time ago. Most people don't recognize it.
Exactly. It's not just because somebody's working hard that they are doing well. It's not that simple. Or it's not as simple as going out to get a job when you have systemic discrimination. And you have other things that are in play that could cause people not to be able to get a job. And so there's just so many systemic things that are out there. We need people like yourselves out there that can understand
that it's not because a person is lazy, or it's not because a person doesn't want to work. It's not because a person's not smart.
Mm-hmm.
It's because there's so many things that could cause a person to not have wealth. And we need to understand that not having wealth is not a curse from God. A lot of times it's because of the way we treat people that's why people are in poverty. And we just need to do better as a society.
Yes.
Amen.
But
well,
I like
said.
The.
We agree.
I like that what Jim was saying and what Devin and David said. Basically, what you're saying, and I really appreciate this aspect of it, is that you're addressing the causes and not the symptoms. Many it
exactly.
has become almost politically incorrect now to address the actual symptoms. It's more expedient now to just put a Band-Aid on the cause on the symptoms and not the cause itself. And so that's where I think your organization takes a different approach, one that's really has been marginalized. I think back in the 60s, people had started down this path with the Moynihan Report and some other reports that came out during that time. But then, of course, when you throw politics in and divisiveness and you get the red and the blue states and this state and that state,
mm-hmm.
it goes back under the rug. So we have to keep applying the pedal to the metal to what you all are doing, because that is the right approach. Politically correct or not, that is the approach to start seeing some type of progress, because as long as you just address the symptoms and not the cause, we're going to be the same place 100 years from now.
Exactly.
So I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Exactly right. We do have a call on the line that we might like to make a comment. Paula, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, I'm Brenda Richardson. I'm out of Charlotte, North Carolina. I have a question. I know the bigger cities have things like that already established, but Anson County, I'm glad y'all have started this. But the question, how are you going to reach out to the people that is in need? That is the problem. How would you get things to them?
Yes. Well, one of the things that being a part of networks, and again, I just gave like the tip of the iceberg because I could still be going right now. It is my job as well as the board's, job to bring people on to that board and to be connected to people in different organizations like we DSS, SCAP, that we can get in we can reach the people that need our help. I have recently established a connection with the Domestic Violence Coalition here in Anson County. So that is what I'm always trying to do, is just, widen that connection to people so that we can let more people know that we are here and that we would like to, we are basically, when you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, that we are here to give you the tools to get to where you would
well.
Like to be in your life.
Okay.
So, yes.
Okay, one more question. On your website, is it a place that you can donate, if you want to donate money to the organization?
Actually, at this time, we do not have it on our website. However, if you want to donate to us, you can go to HALA's website, and they have a PayPal. And if you would fill in like the memo, that it goes to Networks Anson. So that would
okay.
be great.
Okay. I'm originally from Anson County, and I do like to give back to my hometown, and I already do with HALA, so I can – continue to do it and just do and put it in the thing, go to you all. Okay.
And actually, Ms. Colson, I believe you're Brenda Colson Richardson.
Correct.
Oh, good to see. Okay, I met you before. It's nice to hear from you. And if you could, I think I'm not sure if we're Facebook friends or not, but if you could get your email address to Leon, and I'll put you on our newsletter as well.
Okay, that'll be great.
Yes, thank you so much.
Like I say, I like to give back. Okay.
Yes, we appreciate that so much. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brenda Colson Richardson likes to give back, and she does give back. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. brothers and sisters, Devin, would you like, do you have any other things you would like to say before we close? Our time is about up. We have another 30. We have, our time is up. But we will be back next week, and you guys are invited to come back anytime.
Oh, thank
anytime
you.
Anytime you want to come back, just say, hey, man, we're coming back tonight.
All right.
We have some more things
to
say, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Brother for Real Radio Show. We're here every Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m., and we are on our way home tonight. We are out of here. Y'all have a good night. All right. Hey, brothers, good show, man. We're on our way out, man. Glad to get you in there.
Hey, brother, thanks again. Great show.
Thank you, brother. God bless you. Appreciate you joining us.
All right, man.
All right, man.
Just